Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to see your smiling faces this morning, and pray you had a great week. We're looking forward to a great worship service this morning, and looking forward to hearing what the Lord has to share with us. So as we get started, I just want to ask you to, if you would, please stand, and we're going to invite the Lord to draw our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for Your presence here. As we have gathered in this place, each of us has come with a different experience this week, and You know our needs. We come and we lay those needs before You, and we open our hearts, our ears, and our eyes, so we might see, hear, and know You, experience Your love. Now receive from us our praise, our love, our adoration, as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you again for coming today. Were you going to introduce the...
An announcement? Yes. Okay. All right, so I have a quick announcement before we start worship. If the American Heritage girls could come up real quick for me. All right, so this year, the American Heritage Girls, we have Operation Christmas Child coming up. That's the shoeboxes that we send all over the world, or the organization Samaritan's Purse sends all over the world. And this year, they are going to be doing 25 boxes, so one per child that is in the program. And we, as the Wasilla Community Church, would like to partner with them and match that 25 boxes. So next week I will have a consolidated list, because I have big long lists, but I'll have a consolidated list of what we're going to be aiming for, and it'd be fun to kind of do it as a church. So we'll have somebody will get 25 of the big items, or somebody will get 25 of the toiletry items, or as such. So I will get that list to you guys next week. I just ran out of time this week, and we will have a packing day where we pack all the boxes together on November 12th from noon to 2. It's a Saturday. So come prepared for that, and then it should be really fun, and this is one of my favorite times of the year is doing this. So very excited.
Thank you, ladies. Okay, will you stand and worship with us this morning? I love the declaration of this song. I keep Psalm 2 starts out, "Why do the nations rage?" I think we're hearing some of that, right, in our news. It's nice to declare the truth of who God is in this time, in this day.
Deepen, we do.
redemption, forgiveness, belonging, purpose, identity, strength, confidence, compassion. So many things we get listed all day. The way, the truth, and the life. The bread of life. The living water. God, we thank you for your incredible generosity. Thank you that we can stand in confidence when nations rage around us, kingdoms will come and go. But God, you are forever our faithful God. We thank you. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. That was a chord. I get asked all the time, how am I doing? Really, I'm doing good in every way except this, and that this isn't going to change unless God chooses to intervene supernaturally. It's going to be some time before they're able to do any kind of surgery because of the radiation. So anyway, we'll continue, and I'll do the best I can to keep looking up. I am looking up inside. So whether you can tell that or not, it's hard. That's the reason for the seat, for those of you who may be here for the first time. But actually, this is how they taught back in Jesus' day. The teacher, the rabbi, would sit down, and the students would gather around the chair. So there's a little bit of a biblical approach here. So just so you know, this is not just so that I feel more comfortable. But it is so that I can look at you and you know, it really is, it's hard to describe what that's like. So not painful, just hard. Anyway, enough about that. It is a beautiful day. And you know, beauty is one of those things you find when you look for it. I often say and like to say, we find what we're looking for. And when I go looking for God, he isn't hard to find. When I look for the beauty of his creation, I don't care if it's so foggy you can't see your hand. Have you thought about it? This morning when I got up, it was so foggy, you couldn't see the end of the street. I couldn't see headlights coming down the highway. It was that foggy. And yet there was something about that veil that was beautiful because it veiled something, and I was just anticipating what was behind the veil. And I was wondering, would there be snow on the mountains today? Was this fog low actually turned to snow up high? And were the mountains going to be full of snow? So beautiful. And wherever you look, the beauty is there. You know, I lived in the desert, and I got to be honest with you, it's not my favorite place. Hot, hot, hot. Everything wants to sting you, bite you, stab you, cut you. There's nothing comfortable about the desert. The heat is oppressive. So you but it's a dry heat. Well, turn on your oven to 120 and stick your head in there. It's a dry heat, okay, but it's hot. Pick something up that you didn't plan to wear heavy gloves with, and you will burn yourself. So that was the desert, but I got to tell you, there was so much beauty there. If you would just look for it. And you didn't have to wait for a rain to see the beauty. It was there. Beauty's all around us if we choose to look for it. But this is a world that right now, sometimes it feels like you have to look pretty hard. But I come to this place, I look out at your faces. And the truth is, the beauty's all around here. It fills this place. And I'm grateful for his beauty. And the beauty of his holiness. Not only the holiness of his throne, of his throne of grace and mercy, but also the beauty of holiness in the lives of his saints, his people, this family of God. So grateful. In a world that, and I've said it so many times, but it seems like an apt description of people getting on board a train to hell, and they're excited to get on. They just don't know their destination. There's a country song about this long black train. What are you looking for today? Are you looking for beauty? Or are you looking, I mean, let's be honest. If we look, find what we're looking for, are you looking for hope? Are you looking for God at work? Are you looking for God's favor in your life? You know, I pray for that. I pray that God would give me his favor. Favor with him first and favor with others. But that means at some level I have to walk worthy of that favor. It's up to me to live up to that if I pray for it. Are those the things that you're looking for? Or are you looking for, you see failure? Failure in others or failure in yourself? Will you see broken dreams, unpaid debt, unmet needs, and expectations? Or will you be focused on the news and the growing rampant wickedness in the world? I pray that those are not the things you're looking for, but if you are, you will find them. In a world where we're constantly told by the media and the entertainment world that right is wrong and truth is whatever you want it to be, in the midst of that, there is beauty. And we can know and experience God's unmerited favor. How about an amen? By the way, amen simply means yes, so be it. It literally means so be it. Let it be so. So amen's a good word when we hear the truth. Isaiah 61, I hope you're not tired of hearing it because it's God's word, it's God's truth, and it's also our mission. So I'm going to read again what we've read for the last several weeks, but I've now continue on into verses 2 and 3. Psalm 61, verses 1 through 3, the English Standard Version. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. Again, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. That's powerful stuff. That's powerful good news. Now, I have a proclamation to make. I was fortunate to marry the most wonderful woman. This will be 39 years in December. And I'd do it all over again with gratitude. We've been through some hard times together. We've seen some rough waters. Rough waters in our own relationship. But you know, when God's at the center, you find what you're looking for. And so my proclamation is, I was fortunate to marry my best friend, and she still is. I was fortunate to marry a life partner who, even when we disagree, we can come to a conclusion that we believe God is leading us in. And I married a woman who is able to walk with me and beside me, not lagging behind and not running ahead. I married a woman that God intended for me to make me a better man. That's my proclamation. But I have a more important proclamation to make. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the sent one to save the world. He is God's only Son. He was born of a virgin, and that's an important point, friends, because he was not born with the contaminated blood of Adam. He was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, but born of the flesh, fully human, yet fully divine. And he walked on this earth. Yes, he had poopy diapers. Yes, he had all the bodily functions that we have. He learned a trade. He was a craftsman as a carpenter. And he was a man's man. But he was tender towards women and he saw their plight. This man, Jesus, whose name is such a powerful name, when you speak it, hell quakes in fear. Imagine that. He came a suffering servant to suffer in our place, to bear the sin of the world on his back, and to die in our place. But the grave could not hold him. He raised from the grave on the third day. And over 500 people saw him alive over the next 40 days. And every time I go fishing, I think, just cast over there. Proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That phrase is one that we need to understand. It was the year of Jubilee. And in the Hebrew, more than tradition, the Hebrew law, if someone had committed themselves as a servant to someone for a loan if they had given their life or their home, actually even their coat, as a collateral for a loan, on the year of Jubilee, all debts were paid. You got your home back. You got your coat back. You got whatever you put up for collateral back as your own. It was a reason for celebration, and far better than the PFD. You know, it was a wonderful thing. It happened every 50 years. But if I borrowed something last year, and today is the day of Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, it didn't matter that I just had a year into it. The year of Jubilee, all debts are paid. And so even if last month I borrowed something, wow. But see, that was taken into consideration by those who did the loaning. It was prorated. But with Jesus, there is no proration. Your debts are all paid. They were nailed on that cross. And the blood he shed should have been mine. Now, is that a proclamation we can live by? And if it's such wonderful news, why don't more people hear it? Unfortunately, the world is drowning out the message with half-truths. Sounds like the truth, but it's still a whole lie. Proclaim this year of Jubilee. Proclaim God's favor, all debts paid. Proclaim, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Not some, not part. And here's the thing, friends. God knows me so well, he knows I am likely to stumble and fall. When I first became a Christian, man, I hit that altar over and over and over again. I kept getting resaved. That's really not true. I wasn't getting resaved. I was already saved. I was just coming back because I knew I wasn't living where I needed to be. And I couldn't find the strength to do it. But hear this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And here's the thing. We are saved by grace. We're all sinners. But we don't have to remain sinners. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit that God comes into our life to help us to live victoriously, yes, without sin. We can make a choice, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to live that victorious life. That's good news. And we can take that good news, and we can comfort all who mourn. It doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter who you've lost. The fact is, it's temporary. The hope we have is eternal. The love we share is eternal. And when Paul was teaching the church at Corinth, now these three gifts remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The reason? Because faith will be realized one day and it won't be needed. It'll be gone. Hope will also be realized one day when we see his glorious face and we bow at the foot of the King of Kings. That hope will be realized. But love, the love he gives us to share, is eternal. It'll last forever and ever. It's the one thing you can invest in that nobody can take away. Comfort all who mourn. You know, mourning and grief can immobilize people, can paralyze people to where they just can't function. And it is that hope, it is that reality of the comfort I've received that God wants me to give to someone else who is hurting, who's needing comfort, who's grieving. And so as I share that love, that comfort, they too may find some comfort in that. Don't tell them you know how they feel. Just tell them you too have experienced loss and grief, and God has given you hope. And if they want to take hold of it, they too can know that hope. Telling my story, telling your story of who Jesus is for you, what that name means to you, and that he loves us unconditionally, will comfort anyone who hears and believes it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Receive the Holy Spirit. Open your heart and let him in, because he will comfort. And that's a message we need to proclaim. There's a reason Jesus went back to be with the Father, so that he could send the Holy Spirit to do his work in our lives. He didn't leave us here as orphans, but he sent the Holy Spirit to complete the work here on earth that Jesus began. And he's going to complete that through us, his church, the body of Christ. And then exchange beauty for ashes. Exchange beauty for ashes. This beautiful headdress. You know, Jan bought a magazine with 70 years of photos of the Queen. And it's amazing. It's really an incredible thing to see. And the diadem, this crown that she wears, just absolutely stunning. That's what God gives us. We don't have to shave our heads and throw ashes on our heads. That's what they did when they mourned in their day. If it was a real deep mourning, they would shave their heads and throw ashes on their heads and face. They'd go around all, that's where the word ashen comes from. Because they had this mournful look and the tears would run through the ashes on their face. But God lets us exchange those ashes for this beautiful headdress. The Native Americans came up with some beautiful, beautiful artwork. And this magnificent headdress of the chief made from eagle feathers. And the artwork that they would weave into it was just, yeah, there's no other word for it. But what God gives us makes those things pale in comparison. We get to exchange the garment of praise rather than a faint spirit. When someone is so afraid that they can't function, when fear has taken over and given them a faint spirit, God gives us a garment of praise. It's like this fabulous choir in their choir robes of silk. And as they sing and as they move, it just glows. Garment of praise instead of a spirit of fear. Where can you exchange your old, worn out brokenness and grief for God's beauty and glory? Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus. But it is certain in Jesus. It is for certain. You can have absolute confidence in Jesus. And that I proclaim as a personal eyewitness. You can trust Jesus. You can know His word is true. And if you will live by that word, you will find those promises of peace with God, of joy unspeakable, full of glory, no matter what your circumstances are. You know, happiness is happenstance. It's based on your personal experience in the moment. But joy is an inner reality because of your position in Christ. It's not an outward expression of happenstance. These are God's gift to us in Christ. And the reason for this gift, this reason that He comforts those who mourn, the reason that He exchanges beauty for ashes, the reason that He gives us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of fear, the reason for our turning in our worst for His best is so that we will be called oaks of righteousness. I heard a preacher, I don't remember his name now, but he was talking about sin and how if we will just allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, we can pick up the acorns before they become oak trees. It's so much easier to pick up or rake up oak acorns than it is to dig up the roots of an oak tree. The oak tree, it runs deep roots. And when all the other trees in the forest have been blown down by the hurricane and the constant rain, and it's the oak that's still standing because of the depth of its roots and the strength. And we are God's planting, oaks of righteousness. Trees like the redwood. Our righteousness is not ours, though. Planted by the Lord, that He may be glorified, the righteousness is His. And only as we are in Christ and follow Him in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, that righteousness then becomes ours. And God sees us as righteous. But apart from Him, we are on our own. And we come back to that broken, ashen, mournful, fearful, lost soul. Jesus is coming again. I heard some of those amens back there. And it's okay to say it out loud. Jesus is coming again. Amen. That's good news for you and me, friends. If you're a follower of Christ, that is great news. But if you're not following Christ, it should cause trembling and fear. He is coming again. That's a part of the proclamation we're supposed to bring. But you don't have to remain in fear. You can know by saying yes to Him and to following Him, you can know that you're going where He's going. Paths of righteousness for His name's sake. But He comes as a conquering King. He came as that servant, suffering in our place. He stood quietly by while he was condemned by a man who had no authority other than what God had already given him. He stood before people that he could have spoken a word and they would have been dust. He didn't have to raise a finger, just speak the word and they would have been extinct. Even their memory gone. But he stood and he accepted our punishment. But when he comes back as a conquering king. He comes back and he's going to prove that he's already won the victory. Sin and death will have no power over us. And there will be no condemnation, as we learned last week. No condemnation, for the power of sin and death will have been broken forever because of Jesus. But the vengeance and judgment of our God for those who have rejected Jesus is very real. So it's up to us who are believers and followers of Christ to proclaim the great exchange. Exchanging my worst for his best. Where else can you do that? Transferred from the domain of darkness into his kingdom of light and love. So proclaim the exchange of eternal damnation and separation from God with eternal life and never-ending praise in spirit and truth at the throne of mercy and grace. Imagine the most awesome experience you've ever had in praise and worship. The most awe-inspiring, word-swallowing experience where there was no word, no expression but tears. Hands lifted or knees so weak you could not stand but had to fall on your face in his presence. Imagine that glory. Glory that these hearts simply could not survive in his presence. And we're going to get to experience that forever and ever and ever. Time will no longer exist. And we will just know him, praise him, love him. We will get to talk with him. We will get to talk with his saints. We will get to continue to explore all that he created for us. And all the mysteries of the universe will become known. Wow. Why would I hold on to my 99 Ford when somebody wanted to offer me a brand new 2023 Tundra? You know, I don't know. But I've got something so much better than a new truck. I have the kingdom of heaven. You have something to proclaim if you have Jesus. Don't keep him a secret. Let everyone who sees you and knows you hear that truth. Thank you, Father. Those words just seem so, so inadequate. But we have to use what you've given us. This vocabulary that is so inadequate, we offer to you to say thank you. We love you. We adore you. Receive our praise and our worship as we follow Jesus in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we will, all the days of our life, proclaim that truth for your glory and honor. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. If you'd like to stand, please do. If you want to just remain seated in reverence, Please feel free to stay seated, but we're going to sing a song, and we're going to exalt the Lord. If you'd like to learn more about how to help others as you proclaim this truth, Growing Strong in God's Family is going to start on the 5th of October. That's this coming Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock. I have some workbooks back there. They're $15 a piece. That's the replaces the church's cost for them. And sign-up sheets back there if you'd like to. But also, I think even more importantly, I'd like you to be praying for your pastor. Pastor Mark has been quite ill with bronchitis, and we're asking God for that healing to relieve those symptoms, but also to prevent it from going into pneumonia. So be praying for Pastor Mark in that regard. And as we go, just remember, God loves you so very much. And so now may you go in the love of God our Father, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, today and forever.